For Epiphany Sunday, the lectionary always has the same scripture texts. The story we have heard from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, about the Magi. Psalm 72, about the king, a royal son who will receive tribute and gifts from other kings. Ephesians 3, about the mystery of the gospel, bringing Gentiles into the body of Christ. And Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6, about the light and glory of God. Today we will focus on Isaiah 60. Right now I will read just those opening six verses, yet I invite you to keep your Bibles open because we'll look at more of the chapter later. It's on page 1157 in your pew Bibles. The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have entered a new year, 2025. We may wonder what this year will bring, what joy, sorrow, loss, success. Some of you are looking forward to babies or birthdays, to moving, graduation, travel, parties, promotion, and other adventures. Some of you are dreading surgery or a birthday, change, challenging conversations, leaving the denomination. This year may feel heavier to some of us, yet I expect, hope, that as usual, this year will have both joy and sorrow, reward and stress. Many do feel the weight of this year differently. Maybe because of the intensity and inhumanity of the wars in various parts of the world, or because of the changing political climate in our own country, or the increasing impact of climate change on people we know. And we have entered the year when Neeland will likely leave the Christian Reformed denomination. So much of it feels heavy, deep, dark. So Isaiah 60 speaks powerfully to us, especially in this year 2025. Though I have to say, as I read commentaries and sermon notes from other years, many of them began by describing the darkness in the world, especially this year. Still, this year, we sense darkness covering the earth, and we wonder, what is God up to this year? And the people of Isaiah probably wondered, back when Isaiah was preaching this prophecy, what is the Lord up to now? In the time of Isaiah, the people were walking through darkness. God had brought judgment upon the people of Israel and Judah because of their rebellion. They suffered under political turmoil and personal trouble. Even though many were returning from exile, they still felt that they were wandering through darkness. The previous chapter, Isaiah 59, is full of sin and confession and judgment, and it complains, "Justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows." This is the darkness of lament and anguish, and more particularly, the weight of spiritual darkness, because their sin has led them to feel isolated from their God. Can you relate to any of this? The dark of winter heightens our sense of the weight of gloom, but the darkness is deeper than clouds. It's the darkness of global tension, of political fears, of conflict in families, of sorrow and suffering, and of our own sense of isolation from God. We too may feel weighed down, covered by darkness. But the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord appears. So rise up, shine, there's light. So there is hope. How can this be? Let's look further into Isaiah 60. Those first three verses introduce the theme of this glorious chapter. God's redeeming work will bring light and restoration to God's people, and nations will be drawn to the light. The theme of God's light shining in the darkness permeates the whole story of God's people. In the beginning, when darkness was over the surface of the deep and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light out of nothing, light. Later came the sun and the moon and the bright shining stars as God gave light to the world. Last month, we heard how God remained close to the people of Israel in the wilderness in that bright pillar of God's glory so that they would know that God was with them, leading them. On Christmas, we heard from John's gospel, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Notice, the light is for all humankind, for all of us. And then it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then last Sunday, in Luke's gospel, righteous old Simeon saw that the baby Jesus was light for revelation to the Gentiles too. And today we have heard from Matthew's gospel that God's star shone in the sky to draw those foreign magi or wise men to Jesus, to reveal that the light has come not only for God's chosen people of Israel, but for all people, for foreigners as well as Jews. And the magi bowed down in worship. And all of these stories resonate with Isaiah 60. About 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah foretold how the wealth of other nations would come. And then those wise men brought their gold and incense to the child whose glory beamed upon them. It says, all assemble and come to you. The middle section of Isaiah continues, foretelling that flocks would come to you from nearby countries as offerings for worship. Isaiah promises that sons and daughters will return. Those people who've been scattered to other lands will come back to their home. Again, in Isaiah 60, verse 9, the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar, with their gold and silver to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. It is an astonishing and exciting vision of many nations bringing their best gifts to the Lord for the service of his kingdom, for the splendor of his temple, for the good of the city. Even oppressive nations and kings give up their power to bow down. It says, all will come to you. If you've been wondering who you refers to throughout this prophecy, that becomes clear in verse 14, where it says, they will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. You is the city. Now, I'll confess something about Isaiah 60. I love it. Yet in my study of Isaiah 60, my questions seem to increase at a faster rate than my understanding. For instance, I still wonder about Zion and the biblical promises for the future of Israel. God's ways are mysterious, and I'm not sure what God intends for Israel, even while I do believe that God keeps his promises. I remain wary of conflating Zion, the city of the Lord, with today's Zionism. They're not the same. Our God is no longer restricted to a tabernacle or even a temple, but is with us everywhere. So the historical Jerusalem is not the same as the future city of the Lord. Yes, God did choose Israel to be set apart, but the Lord had a different plan for when Jesus came, a plan that had been in the works a long time. God's intention for a holy nation expanded to include people of all nations. So Gentiles like me have been engrafted into the family of Abraham, and the body of Christ, the global Christian church, is the new Israel. Yet that Isaiah 60 expansive welcome of all nations remains a problem for so many in the world, not just in present-day Israel, but here in this country too. Richard Mao wrote a book about Isaiah 60 called When the Kings Come Marching In. He focuses much of his attention in this book on the foreign kings and their participation in the new kingdom. And he celebrates how diverse cultural riches will be brought into the heavenly city. And with that diversity in mind, Mao offers suggestions for how we all might prepare to live together in that city. He says the Lord's Supper is an anticipation of the day when the Lord himself will prepare for all peoples a feast. So Christians should be actively working to abolish patterns of ethnic and racial discrimination within the Christian community. We ought to look for new and better ways to drink the milk of nations in our life together as the people of God. And then he says later that our patterns of white cultural life and theological reflection must be cleansed of the deep and long-standing influences of racism and ethnocentrism. I think we need to hear this kind of advice to help us all think about how we will live into Isaiah 60's vision and what it means for us. Because while you is Zion, the city of the Lord, I think you is also you. The glory of the Lord rises on you. In my study, I came across a term called prophetic present. A passage like this seems to be talking about both the future and something that's already happening to you. It's probably written after the exile. So maybe it's written to encourage them at that time in how they are to live as they go back to their land in their present. Yet it seems to not also be really about the return from exile. Part of the prophecy was fulfilled when the Magi came to Jesus from far-off lands, led by that shining star, bringing the wealth of their nations, coming maybe on camels to the child who is the light of the world. And Isaiah also prophesies something further into the future. It casts the same vision that we can read in Revelation 21 and 22, where John describes a new heaven and a new earth, where God dwells with his people. And in that new city, there will no longer be a temple. And there was no need for light, because the glory of the Lord is there. And the Lamb is the light of the city of God. And it says in Revelation, everyone will come. The nations will walk by its light and bring into the city the splendor of their lands. So Revelation 22 resonates with Isaiah 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir, the cypress together to adorn my sanctuary. So maybe in this prophetic present prophecy, it is partly, maybe mostly, about when Christ will return and establish a new holy city. Yet finally, the prophetic present tense suggests that you can also start living into the truth of God's glory being revealed and shining on us already now. The end of the chapter, which resonates with that Revelation 21 and 22 imagery of the future new heaven and earth, heightens that sense of already now and not yet. So listen to the end of Isaiah 60. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again. Your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will do this swiftly. We may wonder how swiftly the Lord acts, but this is a message for us. So what are we called to do with all of the beauty and mystery of Isaiah 60? We may begin with wonder. The glory of the Lord is amazing. So maybe we take time to just sit in awe, to be still and know that God is God. God is full of glory. God is with us, even in the darkness, especially when we feel weighed down by darkness. So dwell in the glory of the Lord a bit. Shine. That's the command at the very beginning of this chapter. Get up and shine. Look around. Maybe that look around is also part of the sit and wonder. Shine. The glory of the Lord is on you. It's not just shining off in the distance like it did in the glory cloud in the presence of the Lord leading the Israelites through the wilderness. It's shining upon you. You have the light. It's meant to draw others to you. In the middling time of the prophetic present, remember, there may still be sorrow, but the glory of the Lord will be your light and your sorrow will end. Already the light of the Christ child drew wise men from the east to come and worship him. The glory of the Lord will someday shine so brightly that there will be no more sun or moon. And even now, in the present time, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light is shining on our three-year-olds. When we ask, who is the child whose birth we celebrate? They joyfully respond, the baby Jesus. I've heard that a few times over the past month. Yes, the baby Jesus came to reveal the glory of God in surprising ways, in unexpected places, like a shed or a cave or a tent. So then why should we wonder if we need to look for the glory of the Lord in unexpected places this year? And maybe we can also participate in God's story in unexpected ways. We can pay attention to examples of God's love revealed in Jesus and through others, looking for evidence of God's glory. We may take courage and hold out the light of Christ in this dark world. When God pours grace upon you, when God reveals glory to you, when God shows his love, in all of this, the light of God is shining on you, well then, you shine. You do. You should. You are shining. God shines light on you for your own sake and for the sake of others. So when others see God's light in you, then they are attracted to that light, and they are drawn to the Lord through you. Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So friends, we have the light. We are to live as children of light. In 2025, the darkness may still feel thick. The light of Christ still shines. That tension is real. But the Lord, the glory of the Lord shines. The glory of the Lord shines in darkness. The glory of the Lord shines on you. By his Spirit, the Lord can help you with that tension of living in a world of darkness and still somehow shining with the light of Christ. So, be light. As Pastor Joel said on Christmas, make God's love tangible. Get up. Walk as a child of the light. Let the light so shine that others will see and wonder and be drawn into the light of God's love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. O God of glory, God of light, as we face the future, there is little that we are sure of except that you have come. You have filled us with the light of your glory, the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. So encourage us and let the light of Christ shine in all that we do so that we bring glory to you alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.